wish I could sing as good as Sister Myla. But God probably won't let me until I get to heaven, because I probably sing more than y'all could take. But I appreciate parents growing their kids up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We live in a day where parents have forsaken that. And I'd love to take Miss Myla with me when I preached away, just to be honest, because I've been in churches where there wasn't anybody to play the piano, there wasn't nobody there to sing, and there wasn't nobody there to lead. And they was looking at me to do it. And I remember leading the songs one time, and I was thinking about calling Brother Tim Hall and say, I need some help down here. And when I got done, I said, I hope the preaching is a lot better than the singing. So God didn't give us all that talent. He gave it to others, and I'm glad He does. If you have your Bible tonight, be finding the book of Luke, chapter number 5. The book of Luke, and we'll begin reading in chapter 5 and verse number 1. I'm glad the Lord saved me. I'm glad I'm in the family of God tonight. And it may be cold on the outside, and it may be dark, and it may be raining, but I'm glad there's still light in the house of God, and we still have Jesus, and He's the light of the world. I'm glad we have a God that looks after the needs of His children. If you have your Bible, we'll begin reading in verse number 1 of Luke chapter number 5. The Bible says, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon Him to hear the Word of God. Now, I want to stop right there and run a little rabbit, because I'm the one up here tonight. I'm glad that they didn't run after Him for the singing of the Word of God, but they ran to Him to hear the Word of God. You see, most of our churches today have forsaken what God has given us to actually be doing, and that's to present the Word to a lost and a dying world. I'm glad they pressed upon Him. You know what that means? They crowded Him. Jesus was there preaching. He was there preaching by the lake there, Lake Genesaret, in the story. And the people pressed upon Him to hear the Word of God. I'm glad we're in a church tonight where we can hear the Word of God. You know why? Because that's where God speaks to you at. There's many times, and there's many people in here tonight that need a word from the Lord. I need a word tonight from the Lord. You know why? Because I need direction in my life. You see, I hadn't got this thing all worked out. I'd be the first one to admit that I don't know much. I tell them when I get off work, I don't even know if I know my way home. I may have to stop and ask for directions because I done used all my brain power there. But I'm glad we have the Word of God tonight. And I'm glad they pressed upon Him to hear the Word of God. It said He stood by the lake of Genesaret, and He saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed Him that He would thrust out a little from the land, and He sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when He had left speaking, He said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let your nets down for a draught. Not a drought, but a draught. There's a difference in a drought and a draught. You see, a year or so ago we was in a drought where we didn't have no rain. It means you got little of something. But when you got a draught, guess what you've got? You've got a haul. You got a bag. You got a bunch of them. You ever heard this term? A boatload. He said Jesus was giving them specific instructions on what to do. He said, let your nets down for a draught. And Simon answered and said unto Him, Master, we have toiled all the night and we have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at Thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, and they said that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. And when Simon saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished at all that were with him, and that the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to the land, they forsook all and followed Him. Let us pray tonight. Dear Father, I thank You, Lord, for Your Word tonight, Lord. I thank You for a church to come to on a Wednesday night, Lord, where we can hear from You, Lord. Lord, I thank You for my pastor. I thank You for these dear people, Lord. I pray, Lord, You speak to one heart in here tonight, Lord. I thank You for Your grace and Your mercy to me. Lord, I'm unfit to even open Your Word. Lord, I'm glad You reached down into miry clay and pulled me out and saved me, Lord. Thank You for what You're going to do here tonight. Bless our teachers downstairs. Bless Brother Jason as he preaches to our teens. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Tonight I'm interested in verse number 5, in the latter part of that verse where it says this. It says, "Nevertheless, at Thy word, I will let down the net." And I want to preach on this subject tonight. I will let down the net. You see, the disciples here had toiled all the night, and they had taken nothing. And Jesus knew that. He knew that when He had taken an inventory, that they had nothing. And I'm going to tell you what, when you're a fisherman, guess what? When you fished all the night and all you've done is cast and you've got nothing to show for it, it's a long time. And Jesus knew that. These guys knew how to fish. Anybody know what Peter's occupation was? It was a fisherman, wasn't it? Peter, if you look at what he was doing, he had went out on his own. Peter was a man that knew how to fish. He was a man that knew how to let down the net. He had let down the net all of his life. That's all he knew. If he was going to have to know something about that lake or look at something about that, how it was going to happen, you would have went to Peter. Peter would have been your guide. Peter would have showed you exactly how to get your boat out there. He would have showed you exactly how to look at the weather and make sure the weather was perfect. He probably knew the moon phases. He knew whether it was a full moon, a half moon, or you know whatever. And he knew how to fish that lake. That's all he'd ever known. That's all he'd ever done. He knew that Lake Genesaret was a place of shoals. It was a place, Lake Genesaret was 13 miles long and it was 8 miles wide. So it was a pretty good sized lake. Peter had fished on that lake. Peter probably knew everywhere to let down that net. He had also fished it at night, is what we read in our Bible. It was at night. Peter knew the times that the fish were supposed to be biting in this story. But we find them in a sad situation. We find them, first of all, in a place where the work had stopped. The work had come to a halt. If you look down in verse number 3, it said this, "And he entered into one Simon's ship, which when he prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people." Verse number 2 says, "And he saw two ships," but here it is, "but the fishermen were gone out of them," and it said they were washing their nets. You know what they were doing? They were done for the day. I'm here tonight to say, if we at Liberty Baptist Church, and me myself, you know what we ought to be doing? Every day of our life, we ought to be letting down our nets. You say, what do you mean by that? I want to say, I will let down the net when the work is stopped. These fishermen had known that lake. They had knew how to cast. They know how to throw their net out there just in the perfect spot. But they had done something all that night and it came up with nothing. I'm going to say this to the church here where we're at tonight. A lot of times we find ourselves in that same situation where we've done all we know how to do. We've toiled all the night. We've rowed. We prayed. We sung the songs. We read our Bible. We prayed. And the work stopped. Just like these fishermen. They were out washing their nets. You know what they were doing? They were done for the day. They were cleaning them up. They were heading to the house. They pulled the boats almost out of the water. That was the last thing they had left to do was take their boats and tie them up and go home for the day. Many churches today, they're out today. They've gone out of their boats. They've left their nets. And let me tell you what, they hear the voice of the Lord calling. And you know what they continue to do? They continue to go on to the house. I'm here tonight to tell you when the work is stopped, go ahead and let down your net. Why? My pastor preached this one time. He said, you're one let down short of a blessing. You see, Peter would have never known it if he wouldn't have heard the voice of the Lord and went back. And he said, even though the work is stopped, I will go back and let down the net. You say, why did the work stop? They knew the lake. Peter knew where to fish. I don't believe Peter would have ever went out on that lake that night if he didn't think he could catch a fish. Every fisherman always The first thing they'll do, they sell these things in the store. You know what they are? They're topology maps. You know what that map does? It shows you where the river channel is. You know what it also shows you? It shows you where the trees are in that lake. It shows you where all the old road beds are. You know what it's telling you what to do? It's telling you exactly where to let down your net. And that's where the fish is going to be. Peter knew that. And Peter went out in that boat that night and he caught nothing. Sometimes God will let you go out and catch nothing. Am I speaking to anybody tonight? There's been many times I came to church and the Lord has spoken to me and I didn't do what I was supposed to do. Or I didn't act on what the Word had given to me. And you know what happened? The work stopped. There's a lot of things Peter could have blamed that on. He could have blamed it on the lake. He could have blamed it on the laborers that were there with him. He could have said, it wasn't me. I did all I could do. It was this people that was beside me that couldn't catch any fish either. He could have looked for things to blame that on. He could have said it was the lures that I tried to use. I got these nets. Maybe I didn't place them in the right spot. Maybe I didn't set them down. Maybe I just didn't do exactly what I was supposed to do that night to catch any fish. But I'm here to tell you, even though the work stopped, don't worry about that. And you just go forward and let your net down. There's been many times I preached my last message and the devil said, he'll love to get on that shoulder and say, yeah, you did. Some of you might get up here and sing. As soon as you get down, as soon as you sit down, said the devil will tell you, that's the last song you'll ever sing. You'll go downstairs and you'll teach Sunday school. And he'll say, there wasn't one kid in here tonight. They don't really like you. The work will stop just like that. I remember when I first started teaching Sunday school downstairs, and I used to teach on Sunday morning and Wednesday night, and I remember sometimes there wouldn't be but two kids in that class. And I was praising God that there was two kids there. Why'd you say that? Mom and daddies bring your kids to the house of God. That's where they get help at. That's where they get learning. They're taking stuff in. Let down your net. Many people's pulled up their net. They're mending the nets. They're out on the shore. And they're not worried about their kids. They're worried about their own welfare. And our kids are dying and going to hell. And they don't know things about the things of God because the work has stopped. Don't leave it in that situation. You see, this would be a sad story if Peter said, the work stopped and I never did go back. The devil would love for you to do that tonight. He'd love for you to stop. They had a work that stopped. Peter could have blamed it on everybody that was around him and everything he'd ever known. I heard a man preaching one time, and he said this. It was a couple of weeks ago. He said, life is 10% of what you do. The other 90% is how you react to the life that was presented to you. And I believe that. A lot of times, we react the wrong way. Peter, he could have reacted to what the Lord said and said, Lord, you know who I am? I'm a fisherman. I've been doing this for years. I remember one time we was working with a guy, and he probably wasn't but 25 years old. He said, I've been doing this work for 25 years. And whenever I hear somebody like that, you know what the first thing I do? I say, let me get back out of this place. And I'll tell you, God is my witness. He shorted some electrical boards out in our switch site in 55 Park Place in Atlanta, Georgia, where everything connects together, and dropped every communication that we had in our company for that guy doing that. I said, Lord, let me get out of here. Peter could have said that to the Lord. Lord, I know more than you do. And if he would have done that, the work would have stayed stopped. But you know what Peter chose to do? Not only you'll see that there was the work is stopped, but secondly, you'll see he had a word that was sure. Look what he said. He said, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. You know what that word nevertheless means? I'm just an old country boy. It means whatever happened before that word is gone away, and whatever happens after that word is what we should do. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. No matter what happened all that night, no matter what happened in the past, I'm going to drop it right now and I'm going to do whatever's on the other side of that nevertheless. He said, I'll do whatever your word says. You know what he was? He was obedient to his word. You say, what do you mean by obedience? Peter did what the Lord told him to do. You see, if he would have never done and been obedient to the word, he would have never got the blessing. God is looking for churches these days where His Word is being preached. Why? We're in the Laodicean church age, and God is looking for a church to crown. And you know, He's only going to crown those churches that are preaching His Word. That's why we at Liberty Baptist Church need to stand on the Word of God. He was obedient to it. Y'all remember Saul? Anybody remember King Saul? What caused him to lose his kingship? I remember a story over in 1 Samuel chapter number 15. Old Samuel had come to Saul and he said, God has given you the Amalekites. He said, go in and utterly destroy them, all that they have. Men, women, children, oxen, sheep, everything. Destroy it. Utterly destroy it. Don't take anything. What did Saul do? He went in there and he utterly destroyed them. But he spared some stuff, didn't he? The Bible said he spared Agag, didn't he? He spared their king. He spared the best of the sheep, the best of the oxen, the best of the lambs. And the Bible said all that was good, Saul spared it. But that ain't what God told him to do. You see, he was just, some obedience is still disobedience. It has to be all obedience. You know what it said in verse number 22 in that chapter? It said, for rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. Verse 23 said, and so you have rejected the word of the Lord. God hath rejected thee from being king because he didn't obey the word of the Lord. Nevertheless, at thy word, Peter was obedient to that word. Not only was he obedient to the word, I want to say this, who owned that word? There was some ownership in that word. Who said that? He said it was thy word, didn't he? You know what we have in our hands tonight? You have a treasured book in your hand, and it's the Word of God. And it's not my word, but it's His word, thy word. I began to study in Psalm chapter number 119. It has 176 verses in it, and they're divided out in stanzas or paragraphs, 8 verses in each stanza. 176 verses, 82 stanzas in that text. Thy word, how many times do you think it's mentioned? That one phrase, thy word, 35 times in that Psalm 119 is thy word, the ownership of it. If you've got time, it's the longest chapter in the Bible, but I tell you what, it'd be worth you reading it. You say, why? I pinned down some of those verses that said thy word tonight. David said this in Psalm chapter number 119 and verse number 9. He said, wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to thy word. He said this in Psalm 119 and verse number 11. He said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Psalm verse number 16 says, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Verse 25, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. All down through that chapter, Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. There was ownership in this word. I'm here tonight to tell you that God owns every word that's in this Bible. And if He says it, it's true. And us as a church got to get back to where if God says it, that settles it. Why? Because it's not my word, it's not the preacher's word, but it's God's word. He was obedient to the Word. Not only was He obedient to the Word, He operated in the Word. You see, God could have gave him a Word, and He did. He said, nevertheless, at thy Word, I will let down the net. He operated in what God had told him to do. You see, if Peter would have never done what God had told him to do, he would have never got those draw to fishes, would he? And I believe that's where we are in our churches today, is we're one let down short of a blessing. God's telling us to let down our nets, and a lot of times we don't even put them down. We come to church and we don't let our nets down. Why? I'm guilty of the same thing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Peter operated in the word that God had given to him, and he got a great blessing for it. I'm here tonight to challenge you that you would not only listen to the word, don't be just a hearer of the word, but be a doer of the word. Because Peter did what God told him to do. There was a great blessing waiting on him on the other side that he couldn't see. And it didn't make sense. You see, a lot of times we try to make sense of what God is saying to us, don't we? And a lot of times I'm here as a witness tonight to say a lot of times what God tells me to do don't make sense. A lot of times he'll tell me to witness to somebody, and it just don't make sense. But God's got a greater plan. And it's up to me if I'll operate in what God's told me to do. And I'll tell you this, honestly, for anything that I've ever done, when God has told me to do something and I've done it, I've had no greater joy as a Christian than doing what God has told me to do. Why? Because I was operating in the Word that He'd given me. He had a Word that was sure. He knew that God had given it to him, and he operated in that Word. And I'm here tonight because God is, he said that whatever we do, nevertheless, if thy word, I will let down the net. He had a word that was sure. And my last point tonight, the word that has stopped, the word that was sure. But I want to say lastly, he had a witness that was shown. What happened in that story? It said in verse number 6, it said this, and when they had this done, you know what he did? He operated in it. He had it done. What God had told him to do, he did it. And it said this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes in their net break. The witness that was shown. We all know the story. They went out and they let the nets down. They operated in the Word of God. They did what God told them to do. And they could not even bring the fishes in. It said they'd break their net because they listened to what God had told them to do. Witness that was shown. Not only did they have the fish, I want you to look down in verse number 7. There's a very dear term that's being used in verse number 7. Look what it says. In verse number 7, it says, they beckon under their partners. Partners. I found that very interesting. Partners. And usually I don't use the Greek because I don't know any Greek. Can I get a witness right there? So I have to look it up. And normally I don't because I don't speak Greek and I don't know Hebrew. But I looked up that word in verse number 7, and it means a participant, a sharer, an associate. You know what we are? When God saved you, you know what He did? He placed you in a very particular family. When I got saved, I didn't know what all happened to me. I know I got my sins rolled away. I know I got my burdens lifted. But all the stuff and all the benefits that God had given me, I didn't know all about. But somebody later on taught me that when I got saved, I got placed in God's family. We're not talking about this word partners here, a sharer, an associate, a participant. God placed me in His own family. And I've got a great big family tonight, all across this world. Many of them I don't even know. But guess what? They're in my family. Look what He said. He said, get your partners. Come help me. Beckon to them. Say, come help me. I can't get these fish in. It's a very peculiar term that He used there. He also said, look at that same word He used in verse number 10. Talking about being in God's family. But I want to take it a little bit further than that. Look what He did in verse number 10. Look at that word He used again. He said this, and so also was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were what? Partners. I thought it very peculiar that He would use that term in two different verses. And I said, Lord, is there something that You're trying to show us in those verses? The first one means He's a partner. He's an associate. He's a sharer in the family of God. But that word in verse number 10 is used differently. I looked it up, and it means it has an additional meaning. It means companions. There's people that God is going to put in your path that you're going to be able to get close to. I'm talking about people that are your companion. I know I got married to my wife, and she's my greatest companion tonight. But I'm glad God has placed me in a family of God. Not only did He place me in the family of God, but He's gave me companions to run the race with. You say, what do you mean by that? That's where you get Paul and Silas. That's where you get your David and Jonathans. See, David and Jonathan had their heart knit together. Whatever Jonathan was suffering, that's what David suffered. When Paul suffered, Silas suffered. When Paul suffered, Timothy suffered. That's where we are at Liberty Baptist Church. We're companions, we're partners in the gospel. And that's what he's talking about in verse number 10, a closeness. Not only are we in the family of God, and God's got a great family tonight, but God will place partners in your life, companions that are real close to you. Those people you can confide in. Those people you can cry on. The witness that was shown. He said, there's people that He's going to place in your life, and you can cry on them, you can confide in them, and I've sent them there for that exact purpose. I'm glad tonight we're not running this thing by ourselves. You know why? Because I'd probably be like Peter. I'd be out of the race. I'd be ready to stop. But I'm glad there's been some people that have urged me on. I got a text this week. Don't even know the man. He'd heard me preach on the radio, and I don't even like to be on there, to be honest with you, because I don't think I do a good job anyway. But he said this. He said, your preaching has encouraged me. You know what I was ready to do? I was ready to lap the building because somebody enjoyed it. He's my partner now. God has put, he was in the family of God, but now He's brought me to a closer relationship, and He's made me my companion. We're running this race together. And I, ever since He sent that to me, He said, pray for my church and pray for my church family. And I've been praying daily for His church and Him and His church family. Why? Because God's made Him my partner. Witness that was shown. And I'll close with this. Look down in verse number 11. Witness that was shown. It said this. And when they had brought all their ships to land, look what they did. They forsook all and followed Him. I thought about old Peter. I heard one man preach this one time. He said this. He said, in verse number 8, he said Peter fell down at Jesus' knees. He said he got at the right place at that time. You know why? He fell down. He said his attitude then matched his altitude. You see, a lot of time we got our attitude way up here, but we're way down here. I tell you what God wants us to do. He wants us to get real low. Because I tell you what, when I've gotten real low, that's when He gets real big. I remember in John chapter number 3 and verse number 30, He said, He must increase, but there's a requirement behind that. He said, I must decrease. And whenever we get low, He gets big. I want to keep it in my life to where I stay low. Why? Because I want to keep Him big. Because I can't do it, but He can. He fell down. Not only did he say he fell down, verse number 11, it said this, they forsook all. I began to think about old Elijah and Elijah when they said he forsook all. I thought about all these missionaries. God gave them the call to go to Africa, gave them the call to go to China, gave them the call to go to the Philippines, and they forsook all and went alone. Took their family and went to a foreign land, people they don't know, never heard of them. The gospel call went out to them, and God said, go, and they went. They forsook all. I thought about Elijah and Elijah. We all know the story of Elijah and Elijah in 1 Kings number 19, chapter 19. It said Elijah saw Elijah out plowing with some oxen, 12 yoke of oxen. And the Bible said he cast his mantle on him. And Elijah told Elijah, he said, let me go back and talk to my mom and my daddy one more time. What do you mean by that? He said he tried to forsook all. You know what Elijah did? He went out and the Bible said he boiled up those oxen and they ate them. You know why? He had no ties back to where he was coming from. He had no ties. Let me tell you what, when those missionaries take those babies and they go to those foreign lands, you know what they've done? They forsook all and they've cut that tie. There's no tie to mama. Of course, they got telephones, they got all that, and they got prayer and all, you know, all the good workings of prayer in their pocket, and God hears our prayers. But let me tell you what, they forsook all. You know what Peter, James, and John did when they saw those great multitude of fishing? They said they forsook all, and they followed Him. Not only did they forsake all, they followed Him, didn't they? Now, I was reading a story about D.L. Moody. A lot of you have heard of him. He's a great preacher of old. He's preaching a meeting up in Massachusetts. And the meeting had broke out. And he had a guy there named by the name of Daniel B. Towner who was leading his singing. And as old Daniel Towner got in the meeting broke out, there was a man that just had been saved. And he stood up and he testified. He said, I got a testimony for the Lord. And he didn't know what to say because he hadn't been saved long. But he said this. He said, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'll trust Him and I will obey Him. And old Daniel B. Towner, you know what he began to do? He said he wrote down the words that that guy said. You know what it became? If you read in your red back hymnal, you'll see the words of trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. I'm glad tonight that I'm not serving Him alone. I'm glad tonight I got a word that's sure. I'm glad tonight that my work hasn't stopped and it's not going to stop. You know why? Because I'm going to let down the net. Maybe somebody here tonight say, I'm about to pull my net up and I'm not going back. I'm here tonight to tell you, let down your net. Why? Because there's a greater blessing waiting out there than what you know. And you may not even can see it, but God can see it tonight. Thank you for your attention, Brother Mike.